Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the websites funtrivia.com and onthisday.com. Question number one. This being the week of the annual International Bluegrass Music Association Festival in downtown Raleigh, let's start out with a, unfortunately, hard bluegrass question. Who is best known for his three-finger picking of a five-string banjo? Is that A, Earl Scruggs, B, Doc Watson, C, Lester Flatt, or D, Bill Monroe? You got to know your bluegrass to answer that one. And question number two, it was on this day back in 1958 that this song I'm about to play a snippet of was released. This song, To Know Him Is to Love Him, was written and composed by 17-year-old Phil Spector. So, who is the recording artist? Is that A, Brenda Lee, B, Connie Francis, C, the Teddy Bears, or D, the Chiffons? So here's that snippet from that hit tune. Sound familiar? Who is that singing? The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of September 28th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1791, that the Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart opera, The Magic Flute, premiered in Vienna, Austria. 1791 today. And it was 27 years ago today, back in 1991, that the Garth Brooks album, Ropin' the Wind, became the first country album to debut at number one on the Billboard Pop Chart, 1991. And in country folk and bluegrass music news, this is Doc Watson, Ricky Skaggs, and Earl Scruggs performing Roll in My Sweet Baby's Arms, performed in Reynolds Coliseum on NCSU campus in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Lay around the shack till the mail train gets back, but I roll in my sweet baby's arms.
And this article is written by Catherine Poole and published in Walter Magazine, September 2018, with Body and Soul, Bluegrass Opens Wide. The grass is always bluer in late September when the world of bluegrass descends upon downtown Raleigh. Presented by the International Bluegrass Musicians Association, IBMA, The week-long series of events brings together industry professionals, amateur musicians, and fans of the music tradition deeply rooted in North Carolina. The week kicks off September 25 through 27 at the Raleigh Convention Center with the IBMA Business Conference, a trade show for bluegrass professionals to network and share the latest advancements in technology and sound. The professional conference concludes with the IBMA Awards Show to recognize and honor the best in bluegrass across 17 categories. It's not all work. Also on the calendar is the Bluegrass Ramble, a showcase of over 200 performances introducing up-and-coming talent to the bluegrass community. Acts will be playing September 25 through the 27th at venues all around downtown, including the Raleigh Convention Center, Vintage Church, King's, the Poorhouse, the Architect Bar and Social House, and Lincoln Theater, Business in the Front, Party in the Back. Bows will be rosined and strings will be tuned September 28th through 29th for Wide Open Bluegrass. The self-described one-of-a-kind urban bluegrass festival will spill into downtown with over 100 bands performing on 7 stages, square dance and clogging sessions, workshops, street performers, vendors, food and adult beverage trucks, and the Whole Hog BBQ Championship contribute to the Hootenanny. Redhead Amphitheater serves as the main stage featuring big names and emerging sets. Main stage performances are ticketed and up to half the proceeds benefit the Bluegrass Trust Fund, a nonprofit organization that helps bluegrass professionals in times of need. Downtown will be wide open. Impromptu jam sessions, clogging in the street, humming, strumming, picking, and a whole lot of grinning. And from the website IBMA.org, we have the Wide Open Bluegrass, Red Hat Amphitheater, Raleigh Main Stage. This is Friday, September 28th, and Saturday, September 29th, 2018, featuring Ricky Skaggs and Kentucky Thunder, with guest performance by Patti Loveless, special collaboration with Allison Brown, Becky Buller, Sierra Hull, Missy Raines, Molly Tuttle, and guest appearances by Gillian Welch and Rihanna Giddens. Leftover Salmon presents the Wide Open Jam with Sam Bush, John Cowan, and other surprise guests. The Earls of Leicester, presented by Jerry Douglas, the Gibson Brothers, The Trust, featuring Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver, Balsam Range, Lonesome River Band, and Flat Lonesome. Chatham County Line and Friends, featuring Mandolin Orange, Libby Rowenbaugh of Mipso, Bobby Britt of Town Mountain, and Compton and Newberry. Get your tickets today, IBM.org.
Was the best thing I've been involved with in a long time. I don't know if I've ever been involved with anything that would come up with it.
Someday we'll look back at this and we'll know, you know, that history was made that night. Three people sat down to just pick.
That jam session, I'll call it, on the stage at Mendel's Auditorium that night was like a good jam session at home. I forgot everything but pick. It was a wonderful thing.
And once again, that was Doc Watson, Ricky Skaggs, and Earl Scruggs talking about their performance at Reynolds Coliseum. And in classical music news, we have this article titled, One in Five Teenagers Want to Use Their Phones at Orchestral Concerts. This is written by Maddie Shaw Roberts, published on the 21st of September, 2018 in ClassicFM.com. A new study by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, RPO, has revealed one in five teenagers would be more interested in orchestral music if they could use their mobile phone during a concert. The study conducted by YouGov for the RPO polled 586 children about their experience. of orchestral music. The children were divided into two age groups, age 6 to 10 and age 14 to 16. Researchers found 82% of children age 6 to 10 would like to learn how to play a musical instrument. A further 81% of under 10s said they believed more could be done to get children their age interested in orchestral music. Children in the younger age group were also keen to experience orchestral music in person, with 34% saying there should be more school trips to see orchestral concerts. Nearly half, 43% of the under 10 surveyed said there need to be school orchestra and more music in schools, and playing in a school orchestra would pique their overall interest in the genre. Meanwhile, the study revealed that social media was an important factor for children age 14 to 16. 1 in 5 children, 19%, in the older age group said that if they were allowed to use their mobile phones to share images and messages during a concert, they would be more likely to engage in orchestral music. While 43% of teenagers said classical music needed to embrace pop and dance music to appeal to more young people. James Williams, managing director of the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, said, "The change of outlook when children are in their teens underlines the need for orchestral music to adapt and diversify so the genre can remain a part of people's lives. It is for this reason that we invest so heavily in having a strong presence in the digital world. Further, our forthcoming symphonic pop concert at the Royal Albert Hall is aimed at giving fashion-conscious teenagers a first experience of orchestral performance through the familiar music of Adele, Kylie, Ed Sheeran, and Bruno Mars. This in no way undermines the wonder of a Tchaikovsky or Beethoven symphony, but we believe once people are engaged in the orchestral genre, they will start a journey of discovery. The key is to have a diversified program of concerts that makes it easy for people of all backgrounds and ages to start an orchestral journey that will enrich their lives." Dan performing the song Chain Lightning from their 1975 album, Katie Lied, introduces our jazz and blues music news. It's an article entitled Steely Dan Announced UK Tour. This is published in jazzfm.com, September 3rd, 2018. Steely Dan are set to play their first full UK tour for the first time in nearly 10 years. The announcement follows their acclaimed one-off live show at London's Blues Fest a year ago and will feature Steve Winwood in support. Founder member Donald Fagen lost his bandmate Walter Becker on this very day in 2017 after a sudden illness, but said, "I intend to keep the music we created together alive as long as I can with the Steely Dan band." The group started in 1972 and has sold more than 40 million albums and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2001. And one of Steely Dan's concert staples, the grooving blues tune playing in the background now, Chain Lightning, has an interesting backstory. As noted in songmeanings.com, this song is about the quiet return of fascism. Chain Lightning is a cryptic reference to the dual S lightning bolt symbols used on Nazi uniforms and the lines, "Don't bother to understand," and "Be part of the Brotherhood," suggests that the narrator is stuck in a dictatorship where the man in question is the dictator. And in music research and technology, we have this article published in JapanToday.com on the 19th of September, 2018, by Katie Kelly, published in Sora News 24, entitled Paralympic Athlete Plays Emotive Violin Piece Using Her Prosthetic Arm as Bow. Tokyo. Shizuoka native Manami Ito is no ordinary young woman. As a high school student, she set her heart on becoming a nurse to help the sick, but then during her college studies, she was caught up in a traffic accident that amputated her right arm. She became the first nurse in Japan to receive prosthetic surgery, and on graduation worked with rehabilitating patients through swimming and water activities. Fast forward a few years, and she became well known as a serious competitor in the Paralympic women's swimming scene, scoring from 8th to 2nd in a number of different breaststroke and butterfly races. But that's not all Ito can do. Equipped with a special prosthetic that comes with its own violinist bow, she can perform incredible pieces of music. She skillfully manipulates the bow with her shoulder while her other hand supports the weight of the instrument. She recently performed the theme of Marco and Gina from lesser-known hit Poco Rosso. Her performance followed a speech she gave at a sports meet in Awaji for children to empathize with and play in the style of disabled athletes. Ito often goes to conferences, talks, and daily events to tell the story of her successes and perform pieces on the violin. Her delicate touch with the violin teases out exquisite emotional sounds that take the listener on a journey. It feels like you're feeling her courage and determination through her music. With her unstoppable enthusiasm, beautiful smile, and bevy of finely toned talents, Ito is one of the shining stars of the Japanese sports world and elevates it higher and higher with every performance. Song Bohemian Rhapsody has been covered by so many groups and types of instruments, including the ukulele, as heard here by Jake Shimabukuro, who introduces this article from September 10, 2018 in KSL.com titled, Have You Seen This? Bohemian Rhapsody with 28 Trombones is written by Mary Darrymple. The Music Room. By now you've probably heard close to 100 covers of Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody, but you've never heard it quite like this. Earlier this year at the International Trombone Festival, a group of the world's greatest trombonists got together to perform the classic hit on 28 trombones. Yes, it apparently took a full 28 trombones to really do the song justice, which makes sense, of course, because there is a lot going on in Bohemian Rhapsody. The result of all those trombones performing together is displayed in an amazing video, which definitely has a different feel than the song you're used to, but is just as cool. It's unique and fun and interesting to hear how these instruments get all the parts of the song just right. I'm sure it requires quite a bit of talent, which these trombonists have in spades. As one of the trombonists, Christopher Bill, says at the end of the video, this couldn't have happened anywhere other than the International Trombone Festival. True, and I'm glad it happened.
Capital city skyline photo, skyscrapers shine the sun so, low in the sky.
And in local news from this capital city, we have this article entitled Think, Do, Jam, and it's published in Arts NC State, Fall 2018. Glenn Doggett left NC State with 3 degrees and a sweet hand-built guitar. Doggett grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, the son of NC State physics professor Wesley Doggett. The elder Dr. Doggett also attended NC State as an undergrad, finishing with the first graduating class, 1952, is the world's first Bachelor of Nuclear Engineering program. He lived in Beckton Hall, next door to the old Thompson Gymnasium, and swam in the pool located in the space that would become the Kraft Center Woodshop by the time his son Glenn became a student. Like his father, Glenn lived in Beckton as a freshman, which meant convenient access to the Kraft Center and fulfillment of a project he was devising before school began. Doggett had started collecting hardware parts. It was easier to convince my mom to take me to the music store to spend $40 on a part of a guitar every now and then, rather than shell out $500 for an entire electric guitar. So my plan to build one was sort of a purchase installment plan. Glenn built the solid body at the Kraft Center from rough-cut blocks of mahogany and maple that he purchased at the shop for like $15. He modeled the guitar on a Fender he saw at Burt Music Company in Cameron Village, where he had purchased his first acoustic guitar. As a freshman engineering student, he used his drawing board and engineering tools to create the plan for his custom Telecaster with a Stratocaster-style pickguard. He took advantage of a replacement Stratocaster neck he got on sale at Harry's Guitar Shop on Glenwood Avenue, since he felt that would be more precise than his woodworking skill level might allow. Doggett used Seymour Duncan vintage Broadcaster pickups. They have some bite and twang, good for country and rock sounds, or really just about anything. And his dad taught him how to solder the wiring for the guitar's electronics. With his NC State degrees in aerospace engineering, B.S. in 1990, M.S. 1992, Ph.D. in 1996, Doggett now works for Boeing in Seattle. But his custom guitar gets good use in his band of a few dads in the neighborhood as they jam for fun and occasional fundraising events. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1958 that the song To Know Him Is to Love Him was released. The song was written and composed by 17-year-old Phil Spector. So who was the recording artist? Was that A, Brenda Lee, B, Connie Francis, C, the Teddy Bears, or D, the Chiffons? And I played a snippet from that song as a hint. Correct answer? Answer C, the Teddy Bears. As noted in songfacts.com, this song rose to number one on the Billboard charts back in 1958. And this is the song that launched Phil Spector's career. He was a 17-year-old senior in high school when he recorded this, and he quickly became a top producer after working with prominent songwriters Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller. By the time he was 23, he had produced hits like Be My Baby and You've Lost That Loving Feeling, and was already a millionaire. He became famous for obsessive attention to detail and a heavily layered sound that was also, but he was also mentally unstable. After producing the Beatles album Let It Be and working on solo albums for George Harrison and John Lennon, he went into seclusion and worked only sporadically. Phil Spector was inspired to write To Know Him Is to Love Him in early 1958 by a photograph of his father's Ben's tombstone that said, "To have known him was to have loved him." Phil changed the tense of the epitaph on the tombstone and matched it to the music of When the Red, Red Robin Goes Bob, Bob, Bobbin' Along. Along with some high school friends, Phil put together the Teddy Bears, named after Elvis Presley's song, and wrote this so their new vocalist, Annette Kleinbard, would have something new to sing at a recording session. Kleinbard didn't like the song, but agreed to sing it anyway. The group consisted of high school seniors, Spector and Marshall Lieb, sophomore Kleinbard, and alumnus Sandy Nelson, who later had a number 4 hit, Teen Beat, and number 7 hit, Let There Be Drums, on the drum kit. And the answer to our first question, Who is best known for his three-finger picking of a five-string banjo? Was that A, Earl Scruggs, B, Doc Watson, C, Lester Flatt, or D, Bill Monroe? Correct answer, Earl Scruggs, answer A. Born east of the Appalachian Mountains in Flint Hill, North Carolina in 1924, Scruggs was taught to play the five-string banjo with a three-string fingered picking style. He is considered one of the finest banjo players in bluegrass. By the time he was six, he was playing with his brothers. In 1945, he joined Bill Monroe's Bluegrass Boys. With his Bluegrass Boys, Bill Monroe crystallized the sound that is called bluegrass, and Monroe is now considered the father of the bluegrass sound. By 1946, the Bluegrass Boys consisted of one of the finest string and vocal bands ever assembled, with Monroe on mandolin and tenor vocals, Earl Scruggs on banjo, Lester Flatt on lead vocals and guitar, Chubby Wise on fiddle, and Cedric Rainwater on stand-up bass. So let's close out today's program with a bit of that bluegrass sound from a group that played at last year's IBMA Festival that beautifully blends classical string instrumentation with standard bluegrass instruments. The Krueger Brothers playing their Appalachian Concerto. We've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review, readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me, Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.